on CFRC 101.9, broadcasting live from the basement of Carruthers Hall and Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario, and on the web at cfrc.ca.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome to the show. You're listening to Radio 613 on CFRC 101.9 FM. My name is Avi.
I'm Malka.
Thanks a lot for joining us this week.
So today on our show, we're going to be sharing some clips from an event that occurred last Monday night, February 23rd, at AKA Autonomous Social Center. We were very happy to receive Shachaf, who is a member of Anarchists Against the Wall in Israel. And he's also a photographer with the Active Stills Collective. And Shachaf, you know, gave quite a lengthy presentation sharing pictures and videos related to the work that he is a part of, a sort of collaborative work between anarchists and Palestinians, mainly in the West Bank. And yeah, so it was a great event. We're going to share some of that with you tonight.
Yeah, I'm happy to be sharing some of it. And it was a really good thing to be part of. It was great to have Shachaf here in Kingston and to see the presentation, also to speak with him just in person and build sort of connection. And he's certainly someone who is really interested in building solidarity with other people, non-Indigenous people engaged in solidarity work here. And he was, you know, really interested in drawing those connections between Indigenous struggles on Turtle Island and in Palestine. And we were, I think, the, you know, he'd been on the road for a month doing a trip, a presentation a day, if not two, but really, you know, interested in meeting people and sharing perspective about the struggle in the West Bank and Gaza, but also hearing about local struggles. And we sort of heard a network of different sort of Jewish groups he's been meeting with and that sort of thing, which was interesting and positive and a nice thing to also learn about some of the direct action that they're engaged in and just sort of, you know, anarchist movements in different, you know, contexts.
Yeah. So I guess we're gonna go ahead and start to share the first part of Shachaf's presentation. In this part of the presentation, Shachaf was showing a slideshow of pictures he has taken from, you know, in the West Bank, lots of pictures of the wall. So yeah, if you are interested in checking out some of his pictures, you can look at them online at activestills.org. Yeah, is there anything you want to add before we play that, Avi?
Yeah, I mean, I think Shachaf explains the pictures pretty well. I think if you check them out, they're quite powerful and definitely explain in and of themselves, a lot of times, the really severe impact the wall is having, and later in the show, we'll be hearing some videos, sort of descriptions of videos, and we're going to do our best to, if it's not clear through radio what's going on, to sort of fill that in. But definitely appreciated hearing from Shachaf, and I hope you will too.
I'm a member of Anarchists Against the Wall since 2007. Anarchists Against the Wall are active since 2003 after a camp with activists.
This is my seat.
I need to sit there when I finish talking.
Yeah.
I can sit on you. It's fine. I don't weigh much. So Anarchists Against the Wall are mostly active from 2003. And there was a camp in the village of Masra where the wall was planned to be built and was built later on of Palestinians, internationals and Israelis talking together to find a way to do a non-violent struggle against the wall. Since 2003, dozens of villagers joined the non-violent struggle, mostly in demonstrations and marches towards the site of the construction of the wall, trying to prevent the construction or later on just to demonstrate against it. We participate in different direct actions. It's an open group for everybody who are willing to participate in direct actions, demonstrations, and respecting the Palestinians and respecting the way of act that we're doing. We'll probably talk more about the anarchist nature of it later during the discussion. I want to hear a lot about the indigenous struggle here and how we can collaborate and study from each other, and also a lot of kind of collaboration, networking we can do in both causes in Palestine and here. A lot of people hear about what's happening in Palestine, and mostly recently what happened in Gaza, the horrible massacres that happened there, but the focus from the West Bank is being taken away because of this horrible massacre. What I'm going to show in the first part is what is the situation in the West Bank, how the occupation by its presence is violent. It doesn't need to kill people, it doesn't need to injure people, but it's controlling the life of Palestinians. What you see here is one of the biggest terminals, checkpoints that you see in Palestine. It's on Palestinian land, and it's supposed to control the traffic between Jerusalem to the southern part of the West Bank. It's built on Palestinian land, as I said, and Palestinians can go only one direction. And as you will see later, even if they have permits to go in one direction, it's not good enough for the army. But there are many ways. It can be a concrete instrument that blocking the road between villages, and then a jeep that just randomly monitoring the traffic. This is around Bethlehem. It's a checkpoint where people go to work and come back every day. There are 10,000 people who are going every day through this checkpoint, and they need a permit. A permit is not a guarantee for you to go for a checkpoint. Sometimes the soldiers will decide that you can't go, or sometimes there will be a new regulation for the day that only from a specific age you can go. Bethlehem and Jerusalem, which is the nearest city, were connected for hundreds of years, and since the world was built and also during the Israeli occupation before, it's becoming harder and harder to the communities who live there to go from one place to another. What you see here is one of the biggest terminals, checkpoints that you see in Palestine. It's on Palestinian land, and it's supposed to control the traffic between Jerusalem to the southern part of the West Bank. It's built on Palestinian land, as I said, and Palestinians can go only one direction. And as you will see later, even if they have permits to go in one direction, it's not good enough for the army. But there are many ways. It can be a concrete instrument that blocking the road between villages, and then a jeep that just randomly monitoring the traffic. This is around Bethlehem. It's a checkpoint where people go to work and come back every day. There are 10,000 people who are going every day through this checkpoint, and they need a permit. A permit is not a guarantee for you to go for a checkpoint. Sometimes the soldiers will decide that you can't go, or sometimes there will be a new regulation for the day that only from a specific age you can go. Bethlehem and Jerusalem, which is the nearest city, were connected for hundreds of years, and since the world was built and also during the Israeli occupation before, it's becoming harder and harder to the communities who live there to go from one place to another. What you see here, it doesn't need to be that complicated. You do see the wall and a watchtower, but the soldiers over there are not supposed to be over there usually. They are monitoring the traffic of Palestinians to the closest checkpoint, which is a few hundred meters away. It's a checkpoint of Kalandia. It's between Ramallah and Jerusalem. The wall itself, or the separation barrier, as the Israelis call it, it's actually mostly a fence, as you will see later, and it's a length of 790 kilometers. Most of it, as I said, is a fence, and part of it, which mostly around Jerusalem, is a wall. Concrete wall is around 8 meters high, and to cross it, as you can see, you need to go through gates. And all these gates are controlled by Israeli young soldiers. They can wake up in the morning and don't feel well to open it. You have certain times of the day when the gate is open. And if you miss it, you're stuck on one side. There are hundreds of these gates, and the wall is taking a lot of Palestinian land. To go through, to work on your land, for example, it can take hours just to go from one state to another. Many people don't use the term apartheid, or it wasn't that popular about the policies in Israel and Palestine. What you see here is another road that's separated by a wall, that on one side is for Palestinians, and the other side is for non-Palestinians. And this kind of system of separated roads and transportation in Palestine is just growing and growing. But as you can see here, the wall itself, where it's built, is going through neighborhoods and near schools, near houses. As my friend said, somebody I met in Ottawa, he came from Jenin. And in Jenin, they can see from the university the wall and the army patrols, and you see how they're watching the university all the day. But this is not the only way to control. The other way is getting permits to renovate a house or build a house. And Palestinians hardly get it, especially in East Jerusalem, when they almost never get it. Since 67, none of the Palestinians got a permit to build a house over there. And there's a natural popular growth that need to get some kind of housing, and they never get it over there. I read the news yesterday that 80 houses got eviction threats. So they're going to be evicted and demolished, as you can see here. And this is they won't demolish the rooms that have been built, or a balcony, or another floor, so it destroys the whole house. As you've seen before, and you can see here, the watchtowers are something that is all you see in Palestine everywhere. In entrances to villages, on roads, in many other places that you can just think about, they're very present. If you have the feeling that people control you. They can have cameras, they can have snipers, they can have normal soldiers. Sometimes it's followed by a checkpoint that they open sometimes in the entrance of the village. And this is not usually between places where there are Jewish and Palestinians. It's mostly on Palestinian areas where there are only Palestinians. And these are the concrete blocks. There are 700 roadblocks in the West Bank. The West Bank is, I think, 300 kilometers length, and in the widest part is 30 kilometers. If you want to go from one village to another, you also need a permit, because you need to go through the main checkpoint, which are 40 out of the 700, or you need to go around these roadblocks. You can walk through, but if you need to go far away, it won't help you. So the people from this village, instead of crossing the valley in 5-10 minutes by car, they need to drive 45 minutes around to get to the next village. And this is very common in Palestine. It's a kind of the silent thing that people don't hear about enough. It's a movement restriction that's going all the time. Another way to control is to bring a big amount of soldiers, and because this what they said in this case, that they predicting clashes and confrontations with young Palestinians. And what happened over there, that if there will be no army and no presence of the army and no provocation of bringing people over there, there usually won't be any clashes. The people here, the only thing they wanted to do, it was during the Ramadan, the holy month for the Muslims, they wanted to go from Ramallah to Jerusalem to pray, but they limited the age of people to pray from 45 years and older. So they start to monitor all the people over there, and then there were some kind of confrontation because some people were prevented, and the army is very impatient and very violent usually. The walls breaking Palestine into smaller and smaller ghettos. Now there are around 8 areas where they're going to be separated when all the walls are going to be constructed and the settlements are being extended. The newest plan that the Israeli government approved a week or two ago was to connect Jerusalem to the settlements eastern to them, and which will cause that the southern part of the West Bank and the northern part of the West Bank will be totally separated under the Israeli control for any person who wants to go from one side to another. But it doesn't need to be that complicated. You can put just a barbed wire on somebody's land and it will prevent them from working in some part of the land. It doesn't need to be a big wall. As you can see in this picture, every settlement you see here and every actually things that are being built are Israeli Jewish settlements or army bases. And this is on Palestinian stolen land. A report by the Israeli government has been revealed recently saying that 75% of the settlements being built on a stolen land. Of course, we know that 100% of the settlements being built on a stolen land, but it's very new for the government to admit that something like this happened and goes on and on. So it's not only about stolen land, also about the behavior of settlers and how extreme it's getting in the last few years. The communities are very violent, some of them. This is near the city of Nablus, near the village of Asir al-Kabaliya, which suffered from a lot of attacks that you're going to see in the next few slides. They just set one of the olive groves on fire. So they just burn it and nobody could get closer. They can be very violent if you try to get there, and the army can prevent you. But you can see it's made a huge amount of damage, but sometimes it's not enough, or there is a way for them. They just break the trees. We're talking about dozens of attacks in the last few years, and hundreds of trees have been damaged because of these attacks. But the new policy, which is a public policy they announced, is a payback policy. The payback policy is a policy that if the Israeli government or army try to evict or confront the settlers when they're doing illegal stuff or illegal outposts, so they go to a Palestinian land and do some damage, and sometimes it can be inside Palestinian village, the same village, and they just marched into the village, destroyed a car, stormed a lot of houses and people, shot towards them, and when the army came, they safely escorted the settlers out by shooting tear gas canisters and rubber-coated bullets towards the Palestinians to prevent them to protect on the houses. But the extremist case we had this year was in Hebron. There was a house that had been occupied by Jewish settlers for 2 years. They call it the Peace House. This is how peace looks for the settlers. When they knew there is an eviction threat, they tried to burn a few houses. They attacked the soldiers and the police, and they destroyed the nearby cemetery, sprayed a lot of graffiti around there. And as you can see, the government almost didn't do anything. They succeeded to evict the house very peacefully, but they led them to riot for almost a week. And of course, the victims were the Palestinians. And if there was any Palestinian who picked up a rock, he would be shot immediately. What happened there is that they picked up a rock in this size and they dropped it from the house on the soldiers, and nobody did anything. A Palestinian boy in the age of 14 who threw stones against army invasion last week in Hebron was shot in his head and died. So this is the proportion of what is the response of the Israeli troops and authority over there. What I want to show you in this picture is also in eastern Jerusalem, between Jerusalem and Ramallah, north and eastern Jerusalem. On the Israeli side, you can see the fancy roundabout decorated with plastic flowers and plastic grass, but very real olive trees that have been uprooted probably during the construction of the wall. Till the beginning of 2006, 100,000 olive trees have been uprooted for the wall. And as you can see here, on the other side of the world, the situation is much worse. It's much more remote, much less developed. Many of these places that the Palestinian Authority doesn't have access because Israeli don't let them to go there. So nobody taking care of these areas. But the worst thing that I see in this picture is the ignorance of the Israeli people of what's happening on the other side. Because they see two things over here. One will be, actually they don't see, because they see one thing. One is nothing. And then it's a war going all the way to the other side. And the things that I do see most of the time, and you can see with the elections that happened and the supported war of Gaza, this is the other side of terrorists and enemies. They're trying to create more and more, they're not trying to create, they part of the hate that is growing from the Israeli side towards the Palestinians, and being supported by the media and the education system. Everybody in Israel now is really being brainwashed to hate. And what I'm going to show you in the next few videos, I'll show a few pictures and then for the next few videos, is the action and stuff that we do to collaborate with Palestinians and with solidarity with them. Because we believe that this action and this kind of relationship and friendship that we create is breaking down these walls of hate, this reality that sometimes also on the other side, but mostly on our side, trying to be told to us. We don't believe that this thing is real, and we, by our actions and the things we do, we're breaking this thing. It's getting harder and harder to get there. There are more checkpoints, the wall is being constructed, and it's illegal to go to some of the villages, but we will go. And as I will explain later about how the solidarity thing works, we don't mind to pay any price.
Listen, I got a passion for spitting, smashing the competition. Vocals, the logo for the back-to-back world champion. Pistons undebatable, flesh is biodegradable. People ego deflatable, see no evil and play the role. I'm Peter Gabriel with a sledgehammer. Blood standards, red-handed, set standards, dedicated, a deal of proof. Abel Miracle, Fannie Lou Hamer, Marlon Riggs, Nina and Fred Hampton. Yeah. There goes the neighborhood like Fred Sanford next door to Ned Flanders. These cats pop off at the mouth like over Redenbacher. My lyrics open up the portal, see your seven chakras, helicopter circle. And watch the exchange of Betty Crocker. Soap operas and Benton drama. Prevent it, remember not for smash. Barriers on the roadblocks. You don't get it, you do you? The struggle, don't stop it, don't quit. Worldwide, winning with style and globetrotters. Don't try to sit home if you stuck in time or broke watch. Smash. The walls of hate, end it for the next ascendance. Watching them fall from grace. Repping for the independence. Futuristic sound, you just missed it now. Present with the essence, who we ball, but it all is fake, yeah. Why your power is the size of your attention span. Dilla said it best.
You don't pay attention, man.
That's why your respect's the size of your attention span. It's fresh air when I'm speaking to y'all. Sometimes it falls upon deaf ears like I'm speaking to walls. I ain't preaching to y'all, breaking cycles of violence, not repeating they flaws. Open up your memory bank, I got the key to the vault. Serving the antidote to Alzheimer's, deleting and stalled. Can't go below but think it over. We the leaders we've all been waiting for. Believe it, heed the call, breathe it, keeping involved. These lyrics, heat seekers deplete, tweet us till the speakers dissolve. Each generation must find its mission, fulfill or betray it. I know that ours is more than just being killers of players and making millions of papers. Our blood is spilling the haters. Too much injustice among us, is it still a complacent? Yeah. Smash the walls of hate, end it for the next ascendance. Watching them fall from grace, repping for the independence. Futuristic sound, you just missed it now. Present with the essence, who we ball, but it all is fake, yeah.
When you don't pay attention, man.
That's why your power is the size of your attention span. Dilla said it best.
When you don't pay attention, man.
That's why your respect's the size of your attention span. Smash the walls of hate, end it for the next ascendance. Watching them fall from grace, repping for the independence. Futuristic sound, you just missed it now. Present with the essence, who we ball, but it all is fake, yeah.
When you don't pay attention, man.
That's why your power is the size of your attention span. Dilla said it best.
You don't pay attention, man.
That's why your respect is
the size. All the action we take part of is the solidarity actions. It's not actions that we initiate. We understand that we're coming from the privileged side of the conflict. We are the Israelis. We are the ones that have been part of the occupiers all these years. And we always can go away and run away. I'm here. A lot of Palestinians cannot go out of Palestine. So all the actions you see, the Palestinian initiatives that we came where we were invited. If we are not invited, we are not going there. The Palestinians and many other groups around the world being patronized by too many organizations and groups around the world, what is good for them, especially from the people that occupy them. And especially in Palestine, too many peace movements that try to tell the Palestinians what's the best for them. And for us, it's important to go and to be with solidarity. As you can see in the next few movies, we will stand with them in the first line as much as it needed. The next movie I'm going to show is from the village of Bil'in. Probably most of you heard about it. There's an ongoing struggle for 4 years. The last Friday was the marked 4 years of struggle in this village. The movie you're going to show, actually, you're going to see, I think I watched it once, so I don't exactly remember, but it's one of the actions they did. It's one of the most creative villages. They had a lot of Supreme Court decisions that supported them. And what I'm going to show now, it's one of the actions they did over there, and it was with Israelis.
Okay, welcome back to Radio 613 here on CFRC 101.9 FM. You're back in studio with Avi and Malka. So we're hearing there from Shachaf, Israeli anarchist who presented in Kingston an event called Resisting the Wall, the Israeli Anarchist Movement. We heard about the situation on the ground, sort of the way Shakaf started off the presentation, and then talking about the nonviolent Palestinian struggle in response and in resistance to the construction of the wall, the occupation, ongoing policies of the state, and then sort of Shakaf's now getting on to how Israelis are working in solidarity with that movement. And as he mentioned, the next video, which we're not going to play on air, but which we saw and you can find online, is one in Bilin, where the Palestinian villagers sort of very, as he said, creative action of resistance, actually reoccupied their own land in a house that was being built for a Jewish settlement. So that was the video. And so, yeah, you know, I don't know, Malka, if you want to, maybe if we can describe a little bit more what actually sort of transpired in such an action. I think it's sort of the video at least starts off with a number of Palestinians from the village of Bilin gathering supplies to live, bedding and kitchenware and that sort of thing, and actually sort of crossing over the wall. And this is, we should mention that the wall is being used to annex this land to build the a Jewish settlement called Modin Elite. And so they're sort of passing over from their own village into their own village, I guess. And so this is a house that was not totally completed. And they actually had documents from the Supreme Court, the Israeli Supreme Court, talking about how the actual house is illegal.
Yeah, if I remember the film correctly, what had happened was that the land was where the construction was happening. The land was sold illegally, mm-hmm. And so the it's sort of like a double illegality. You know, obviously, when we talk about the occupied territories, that's an illegal occupation on a certain level, but this was a sort of Israeli recognized illegal situation because the land had been sold illegally, sort of very reminiscent of situations on Turtle Island where the land is sold by someone who doesn't actually own it, you know, by the Canadian law, and the person who buys it develops it for, you know, purpose of mining or, you know, housing development or what have you. And, and it's totally happening on a separate level from what is the sort of legal reality, but the law moves slowly and the police forces, the law enforcement forces, you know, act much quickly to defend the illegal situation. And so that's actually, you know, that's similar to what happened in this video. And, you know, an interesting part of it was that some of the Jewish settlers came during the sort of occupation of the house and construction. The Jewish settlers who were planning on moving in there came and, you know, saw what was going on, and they were kind of stunned and didn't really know what to do. I mean, Shakaf describes that certainly there's, you know, a lot of violence coming from settlers and geared towards Palestinians, and, you know, we'll talk a little bit about that later on in the show. This clip was interesting because it showed settlers sort of like not knowing what to do and not really understanding what was going on and sort of acting in a, you know, not a really violent way in this case.
Yeah. And Shakaf described these particular settlers as being a sort of, he said, new generation of Orthodox settlers, maybe less radical than those in Hebron, for example, who are really, you know, being used by the state to further settlement policies, as he said, lower class Orthodox Jews who, he said, you know, and obviously everyone's different, but many of whom would take houses in Tel Aviv if they were offered, but they're being offered houses that happen to be built illegally, and sort of, you know, the education that they get, rather than understanding, you know, what's going on, they're just sort of constantly blamed. The blame is placed on Palestinians and rhetoric of terrorism and that sort of thing. But in the video, and if you find it online, it's an interesting sort of interaction of people trying to to speak to people face to face about what's going on. And
yeah, and there's a certain level of the video and especially the Palestinian individuals who are, you know, doing the action there. There's a certain level of mocking almost of the like ridiculous sort of twisted around lies that people are taught, you know, twisting things around and around in a circle to blame Palestinians for the situation that they find themselves in, where they're, you know, they think that the settlers, that is, they think they're going to check out their houses that are being built, and all of a sudden they're being occupied by someone else, and like they have all these, you know, roundabout explanations of how it's the fault of the Palestinians for having their own lands stolen from beneath their feet. Mm-hmm. And it just shows how ridiculous the cycle of lies is.
Yeah. I think you make a good point about sort of similar ways that colonial development happens here, Canada and Turtle Island, and the inadequacy of legal systems, especially the way that they're actually, you know, structured to further colonial development, so that there will be the federal government who quote unquote owns the land, the provincial government, however, leases or gives approval to mining corporations or other corporations, and then there's these complicated processes where the federal government says it's not our responsibility, et cetera, et cetera. But the reality on the ground is developments like those that happened, were happening on Tayendanega Mohawk territory, Six Nations near what's known as Caledonia, and, you know, resistance ensues. And as you said, the police forces, state forces in both cases are there one way or the other to represent various, you know, whether it's the OPP or the Canadian state or whatnot. So,
yeah, I mean, and for some very current situations like that on Turtle Island, you know, we can look out west to occupied Coast Salish territory, where lots of development is happening in preparation for the 2010 Olympics. And quote unquote British Columbia is an exception in most of the Canadian geography, because there are very few treaties, like actual treaties that that exist, in which any land agreements or land transfer agreements were made. And so it's even more blatantly unceded land than lots of other parts of the country. So that's another sort of thing that's going on right now in our country. That is similar, but maybe we should stop talking about this, and we'll share a couple minutes of Shachaf talking about an update on what had happened at the house, the sort of housing development that had been reclaimed in that action that we described that we saw in the video. So he gives an update on it in this clip.
Just a brief update about this area. They continue to construct more houses, of course, and the Supreme Court ruled that it's illegal, but and actually the fence and the wall are supposed to be moved over there, but any alternative options that the government brought to the Supreme Court ruled that it's not good enough, because the government still tried to make it closer to Belin instead of closer to the settlement, and the government actually now paid a fine for not following the court orders what to do with the fence. As I said, there are 4 years of demonstration over there. Of course, this was before the fence was finished. If you didn't heard me earlier, it's part of the constructors over there is a Canadian company. I think there was an article in one of the Toronto newspapers about it in the summer. Also, the Israeli company was bankrupt. The owner stole the money and ran away. So a lot of these Orthodox guys was left without houses. And again, they blamed, of course, the struggle. But it's totally not true. But this is part of what happened there. We are involved in four villages. Every Friday, we go to four villages, Bil'in, which you saw. Not far away from them is Nialin. Both of them western to Ramallah. We have Ja'ayus, which is outside of Qalqilya, which is a bit north and west. And we have Ma'asa and Umsalmona, which is near Beit Lechem. And as I tell you later, how much it's becoming more and more violent and how we're facing now much more regression and the fortress trying to break down the the struggle. What I'm going to show now, it's a different action that was directed, as you can see, about, against one of the fences of a settlement near the village of Beit Umar.
Okay, so we're going to play that clip that Shachaf just mentioned. You can actually find it if you go to YouTube and type in Anarchists Against the Wall, Direct Action in Beit Umar. So we're going to play the clip, and you're going to hear a gentleman talking about the land that's being not just annexed, but actually it's very difficult for people to farm their own land, extraordinarily difficult with the construction of the wall, sometimes a fence, either way restricting movement. So we're going to sort of translate to a gentleman who's speaking in Hebrew, and then we're going to sort of, the clip goes on to actually showing the direct action that Israelis are involved in. And we'll sort of describe the scenario that ensues there. We're talking about lands of Beit Umar, agricultural lands that they live from. And that was taken from them in order to build a secured area around the settlement of Karmei Tzur. Until a few months ago, these lands were accessible for the people that work there, all the way up to the fence of the settlement. Not to talk about the lands that are inside the settlement. The Supreme Court decided that the fence could be built, and there's a clear promise that the residents of Beit Umar would be able to work their lands that are beyond the fence. According to the court decision, we've been trying in the last months to continue getting people to work there and found that it was all one big lie. It takes 2 weeks to coordinate a permit for one working day. Then you get there and they let one person to go in, the other person cannot go in, the hours are limited, and all that for one working day, in places that need to be worked on every day. And these are people that own the lands. Why do they need all this process to work their own lands? The goal of the action today was to take down the fence in order to make it accessible for the people to their lands.
So now in the video, we see a group of people, you know, walking towards the fence. You can kind of hear they have big bolt cutters. That's what they're called, yeah. And they're actually like clipping down the fence, and they have a rope that they've threaded around one of the poles of the fence, and on two sides, they're pulling it. There's about, you know, eight people pulling on one rope. You can hear them. And a little ways down, there's another group sort of doing the same thing.
We're going to preempt because we've seen this video, but there's someone who comes in response, and he's a security guard from the nearby settlement.
Yeah, so it's, to be clear, he's a private security guard. He's not a state employee. He's not a public law enforcement officer. He's a private armed security guard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people who had gotten to the other side of the fence to push it from that side run away.
So the security guard says, go away from here, and people are encouraging him to calm down. He's got a massive weapon, a gun, and people are asking him not to shoot, and he says, go away, get out of here, you're terrorists for me. You're a terrorist, you're a sinking whore, I'll shoot you right now.
Pretty much the scariest guy I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. You leftists, whores, maniacs, he's yelling. Terrorists, all of you shits. People are backing away. Get away from here now. So taking their equipment away. Get away from here before I shoot you.
Right, so there are some, I'm not exactly sure, you know, who they are, but there are some sort of public guards there, and So the private security guard is telling them, get them away from here before I shoot them.
And he's saying, aren't you ashamed, Israelis, that you're cutting your own fences, to the Israeli solidarity workers? What are you ashamed of? They are goyim, getting them away from here, he says.
And we see some IDF soldiers who have arrived too, and some, you know, people trying to take pictures of them, some of the activists. Israeli soldiers making phone calls.
And he says, if they were Arabs, you would have shot them with rubber bullets. If they were Arabs, we would have shot them, the soldier said back. So go on, shoot them with rubber. It's all the same. The private security guard says. So this is one of the action examples of the direct action that takes place, and as Sheikh Haf mentioned, part of the reason why and again all of the actions that Anarchists Against the Wall take part in, they're asked to do so, they're invited from Palestinian popular committees. But you know, as this clip demonstrated, one of the reasons why they go is because it changes in a lot of ways. Not that there isn't repression against Israeli activists, but it changes the action of IDF soldiers. As the security guard and the IDF soldier admitted, if they were Arabs, they would have, you know, or non-Jews, they would have shot them. You know, so in this case, so people can resist and the IDF sort of responds in a slightly different way.
And, you know, the video also shows the nature of the activities of Anarchists Against the Wall as anarchists engage in direct action. So the fence is a problem. The wall, the security, you know, at this point it was a fence, which is why I called it a fence. You know, the wall is made of different materials as it goes along. So, the fence here is blocking people from accessing their lands. They're having all this hassle, as we heard at the beginning. Ooh. Sorry, I hit the mic. So they go to break down the fence. Obviously, you know, they're met with repression, but that's the nature of direct action here.
Okay, so the final portion of Shachaf's presentation, there's a few videos throughout, but he talks about sort of ongoing repression and how that increased during the recent attacks on Gaza.
The leader of the nonviolent struggle over there, you didn't see him here because... He was, for security reason, he wasn't there, but he was arrested around 9 months ago. And he's not released yet. It's what's called in Israel administrative arrest. They're arresting you because you are a danger to the public. They don't have any evidence against you, or they have evidence which is classified, so nobody really know what you're being accused. They're hinting to the lawyers what it's about, and every 6 months they can extend this arrest. I met the same guy I met from Jenin. I talked with him yesterday. He told me about his cousin who was arrested for a year and a half, and they released him with no charges. So this is reality for many people and many Palestinians. There are 12,000 Palestinians in Israeli jails these days. It's a number that people don't really familiar with, and it's just growing and growing. For me, every morning I wake up, you can see in the Israeli flash news, 15 Palestinians being arrested. So always I kind of... looking if they tell if it's from the villages that we are involved, to see if it's nobody that I know. Because we had many times, as we've seen, the village of Nialin, which is the next movie I'm going to show you, people that we know are being arrested. And I'm going to tell you soon, it's getting worse and worse. The leaders are being targeted very recently. The village of Nialin is a village that started the struggle in May 2008, where the wall started to be constructed. Through the violence being escalating, in the summer they killed a 10-year-old boy who just walked in the field and tried to check a new barbed wire. During his funeral, they invaded the village and killed another boy with two rubber bullets to his head, a guy in 17 years old. During the war in Gaza, the army became more and more violent in all villages. And what happens is that in this village specifically, they killed another two young guys. One with a bullet to his head and one a bullet to the back of the head. It's supposed to be a non-lethal live bullet, which they use now. If you shoot to the head, it's pretty lethal. And you won't see it, but it's killing. The movie you're going to see, it's after a week of curfew and closure that was in the village. What it means, a closure is that nobody come in or out, no supplies, nothing. And a curfew is nobody goes in and out from the village. The army patrols the village. They can shoot towards houses, tear gas canister, rubber-coated bullets, they shoot live. They killed animals, chickens, and mostly chickens. They destroyed cars, and we succeeded to get in a few times. I don't have one of these movies here, because when we got in, we didn't have the movie, but I show you the solidarity protest that was a few days after this curfew and closure ended. And we succeeded to bring 70 Israelis. It's a big number usually for amount of Israelis to bring, all ages. You're gonna see mostly young people over here and the same people, but there were 70. Most of the people didn't get there. What we succeeded to do in many times was to get to the construction site and to stop the bulldozers. But unfortunately, as you're gonna see in this movie, we didn't succeed really stopping it. I'm just gonna show the movie. It's not good quality as the others, and I just will make a few comments during the movie, and then I'll tell a bit more about the current situation.
He just said that the people of Berlin have the right to do a peaceful demonstration, and the army reacts like terrorists in the violence. They don't need to let people do a peaceful demonstration. Even you're going to see a strong throwing now. It's very important to understand there's no strong throwing when the army is not violent. And if the arms are separated from the demonstration. I can talk about them more soon, but just to, it's really separated, especially in this village. And the army always tried to claim that the stones come before the demonstration, which is a big lie. And usually it's to protect that the army won't invade the village. But you're gonna see they also barricaded the streets. But he said that he got beaten up with a wooden stick, and the stick was broken. So the soldier went away and brought another stick to continue beating him up, and the people that tried to evict him to the clinic. It's a known tactic from the First Intifada when the Israeli army said they're gonna break the arms and the legs of the people who resist. What happened during Gaza? I actually won't show you the picture because it's just demonstrating in Tel Aviv. It's nothing really interesting. It's a few marches. There were a lot of oppression from the government authorities in different ways. It was one of them was in Israel. They arrested 700 Israeli Palestinians. It's Palestinians with Israeli citizenship. It's a Palestinian community in Israel. 600 of them going to be charged. They were arrested from the houses, or arrested in the streets. They didn't want to let people even to start any kind of showing. It's not even resistance, it's just demonstrating. It's a peaceful resistance. They also aimed on us. They arrested a lot of us during a sit-in in a dying within in front of an Air Force Academy, Air Force Base in Tel Aviv. And they claimed that people should be detained till the end of the war, till the end of the legal procedure. During the same time, they raided one of the houses. It's mine, but I wasn't there. I was already here. They aimed for another activist. They confiscated a lot of stuff, and there are more and more aggression from the authorities. And we're facing many and more cases that coming from there. We decided as a group that we support any Palestinians that part of the non-violent struggle that we will pay for the legal fees. So in this village, Ni'alin itself, we have almost 70 cases now. And among our activists, we have 66. So we came to a debt of $150,000 to our lawyer. This is why we're doing this fundraising tour. And this is why any money is appreciated, and also if you don't put money is appreciated, then it's not like a stressful point. It's really important for us that people will know what's happening, which is can lead for more pressure on Israel in one way or another. But if you have more money than you put, or if you didn't put money and you can't put money, it's really very helpful. The tour cost us money, and as you heard, the legal costs. What also happened, as I told you, the two people being killed in this village. Since the war in Gaza, the villages are being invaded every few days. I'm going to show you a few movies from two villages. All villages in the same time that we were arrested in the same days, and same, well, it's all the time now, they're being invaded and they're arresting the leaders, both in places where the resistance was really minor and small demonstrations, and also where the resistance was stronger. But they did in Jayus, for example, they closed all the entrances of the village, and they let, and they took 70 men to the court of the, to the yard of the high school, I think. They blindfolded and arrested 25 or 30 of them. They took position in 10 houses, and this is the only way for them to deal with it. And it's very important that there will be solidarity also outside, not only in Palestine and Israel for these actions, because nobody almost hear about it. There are too many other horrible things. This is one of the big disadvantages of a non-violent struggle. If there is nothing really happening, nobody hear about it. It's easier to show people, dead people, than live people that just do a peaceful demonstration. So for you guys, and this is what we're talking in the discussion, it's very important that you can show it to people. All the things you saw here are accessible online. And it's really important to understand that the village just being invaded. And we're going to be there as long as we've been invited, as long as we can get there. If we can't get there, we'll try to find ways, because it's the solidarity is what we believe. We don't believe that any government or state or border can stop us to do this. Human rights and human values are above any of these. This is the base of our anarchist group. Even though anarchism is not the biggest part of what we're doing, this is the core of most of our actions, that nothing is above human values and human rights. So I'm going to show you a few movies and to show you how urgent and how important it's become to fight for this struggle and for seeing freedom in general.
Okay, so we're just getting to the end of the show. That was Shachaf from our from the event last Monday. I hope you enjoyed hearing his perspectives and his ideas. I just want to give you a couple of announcements before we go today. Next Saturday at 2 p.m., there will be a teach-in with land defenders from Tandanega and Cayuga, facilitated by members of the local Resist 2010 group and part of Kingston's first ever Israeli Apartheid Week, which you can check out online at kingston.apartheidweek.org. So that's at 2 p.m. in the Wilson Room of the Public Library on Johnson Street. And then later that day, that evening, that night, there is going to be a fundraiser for Land Defenders at Cayuga, a night of hip-hop at AKA Autonomous Social Center, 75 Queen Street, $5 to $15. No one turned away. And it's featuring, you know, some MCs from Toronto and London and more. And it's going to be a great show, good fundraiser. So, yeah, thank you so much for tuning in to Radio 613 this week. Join us again next week at 5 o'clock. And have a great week.
And we'll close out the show tonight with music from Mark Gunnery. This is Beyond Chutzpah.
The West Bank, the seal, the water, land and kits. I'm destroying villages to build their wall up. You can't pick an olive off of your own tree. Get shot at by a settler from NYC. Gaza's locked down like a prison camp. You can't work, can't leave, can't turn on a lamp. You can't have electricity or gas no more, cause that's my people's kind of war. Bibles, bullets, and bulldozers determining the borders. And some of my people made the switch from the oppressed to the oppressors. Dispossessed to the expeller, occupied to the occupier. Wrapped our eyes shut with a flag, bound our hearts in razor wire. Raise our kids on a tray fast diet of neuroses of fear, and find strength in becoming our own nightmare. But some of my people are fed up. Go construction sites and tear their wall up. Take barbed wire from a fence in Berlin and block off traffic with it in Tel Aviv. And some of my people in the military refuse to serve in the territories to kill or die for messianic dreams of right-wing settler raiding schemes. Some of my people risk their lives, putting their bodies on the line. Look, I'm talking about peace. I'm talking about justice. Talking free, 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 free.